الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of Almighty God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of judgment. The greetings which means, may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. I have a guest with me today who I've been trying to get here for a little while. His name is Abid Khan. I want to give him the Islamic greeting of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Before we get in our conversation with our brother, we will make a few announcements today concerning our community. The most important announcement we have today is our community meeting. It is at 2 p.m. today, at our facility, which is 1410 Cemetery Avenue. We hope everyone will come out, give us your input, suggestions, comments on the future of our masjid. We want to talk about our plans in the future, different things that we have going on right now. We want to inform the community. One of our goals is to be 100% transparent in reference to the activities, the financial matters, and other things concerning a community. So today, 2 p.m. at Masjid Muhammad Islamic Center of Chattanooga, 1410 Cemetery Avenue. Our classes will start back next week. Our Arabic class will start back on Tuesday, 7 p.m. And our Quran class will start back Wednesday at 7 p.m. And you all know that our Jumu'ah prayer is every Friday at 2 p.m. The doors are open to everyone. Visitors, we welcome non-Muslims to come in and listen to a short lecture and see people, see how we practice our service. That's every Friday, Around the world, Muslims are celebrating the Jumu'ah prayer, which is the second prayer every day that we pray. On Friday, we all come together. Someone will give a short talk. We all stand and pray together, and then we go back to work. It's not an all-day affair. Our Jumu'ah service is not an all-day affair because we're praying and worshiping God after we leave this event. Anyone who need any type of Islamic material from us, you know, it's 100% free. Our Qurans, our lectures, whatever you ask for. If I haven't mentioned it and it's something you want, something you need, just call me, 706-459-1010. And inshallah, God willing, we will try to make it happen. We're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we will get into our topic today with Abid Khan.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back. Again, I would like to give Abbott the Islamic greeting. This is the greeting that when Muslims meet each other.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessing be upon you. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for giving me a chance to come to the program. I really appreciate it. Okay. This is a very short reminder. I mean, short notice you give us. But may Allah make it easy for us and help us to do this. My name is Abid Khan, and I've been here in Chattanooga for almost 20-some years now. Being in Chattanooga. And Allah has blessed me to come back to the path of Islam, yes, in the beginning. I was a student and not very close to Islam. But yes, we still used to pray and all that stuff. But with the help of few teachers, Allah guided me back to the path. And I'm still a student.
We're all students.
And we're still a student.
Yeah. We're all a student.
Never consider myself anyone better than anyone.
Right.
But alhamdulillah, Allah guided us. And in the short time you just give me, I decide we should talk about more about knowledge.
Let's let everyone know. I just asked you to do this. You know, we pray every morning together.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
So we were up at 5 something this morning. We at the mosque praying.
Yes.
And I thought, why don't Abbott come on the show today?
That's good.
We should always be prepared.
Yes, exactly.
Always.
We should always be prepared. Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, that's the sign of a good student.
Always prepared.
Always prepared, yes. When you have on that kufi or whatever.
Constantly learning.
Yeah,
never consider yourself that you are almost there. You're already done. You don't need any knowledge.
We don't graduate from this school. There's no graduation from this school.
Until you die.
Especially in this world.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You get your diploma in the hereafter.
In the hereafter, yes.
Yeah. So tell people a little about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm from Pakistan. Came here as a student. Went to college here. And then...
In Chattanooga?
Yes, in Cleveland. Cleveland from Lee. It's a Christian school.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people might be like, oh, wow.
They didn't get
when
you.
I was there, and when I used to tell people that I'm going to Lee, they were like, oh, are you serious? You went to Christian college? I said, yes. I mean, it's a college. It's nothing, you know, you went there to learn.
What did you study then?
What did you study? Business.
Business, okay.
Yeah, it's a good business school. I mean, they have a good business school. But it's like, it was just all my friend, he just guided me over there to get admission. And I was studying back home. Then I got admission over here in college, and then I came over here. So, and after that, just got married and then got stuck. And that's it.
Stuck, don't say that.
Stuck here.
Your wife might be listening.
Well, yeah, you know, she have to deal.
Things just slow down a little bit when you're learning.
Well, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me with two kids.
Yeah.
Allah blessed me with two kids, and alhamdulillah, they are teenagers. I mean, it's my effort constantly, me and my wife, to teach them every day something,
right.
To keep them on the path, because there are so many distractions. You can, especially these gadgets nowadays,
mm-hmm.
That can take them away
Absolutely.
From the path of Islam.
And Absolutely.
So it is a good thing to remind. I mean, like even in the Quran, Allah says, "Fadhakkir, fa inna dhikrata anful mu'minin." Allah says, "Remind believers, it is good for them."
Right, right.
So we should all remind each other. I mean, this is a reminder for us. But the reminder is good.
Well, let me ask you this, since we're talking about youth. What age were you when you came to America?
I was 24.
Oh, 24. So you were a grown man.
Yeah, I was already grown, and I had already done my bachelor's back home.
Okay.
But then when I got accepted over here, they make me go through the bachelor again. But my bachelor was done earlier because I had some credits back home.
Okay.
So I was graduated within 3 years instead of four.
Okay, that's
yes.
good.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Since Pakistan is predominantly an Islamic country, right? Muslim country.
It is, yes.
Okay. So did you all have those distractions that we have here in America's Pakistan with the modern gadgets and so forth?
We didn't have those things back home at that time because we didn't have those kind of smartphones. And yes, we did have computers, but we have different issues back then. One of the thing is that you are surrounded with the Muslims around you.
Okay.
So you can't. But it's very globalized now. It's pretty much same thing what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
It's over there. I mean, people have phones all the time there now. They have gadgets and the videos game and all that stuff, which is a lot of distraction for the kids, for the new generation especially.
Right.
And even though there are many mosques or masajid around your neighbors, around in your neighborhood, still the masajid are still empty. Because of the distractions, the kids, because these gadgets are so much distraction for the kids nowadays that they spend more time on these things than learning
right
what they're supposed to learn.
So what type of barriers have you tried to put up for kids to try to keep them at least on the middle course and not go too far to the left? And even though they're going to have some exposure to these
yes
gadgets.
So I think, like I said before, the reminder every day, have a small class every day with 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes,
right,
whatever you can. That's the best thing to do with them every day, to remind them, because these kids, they forget stuff very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But the reminder, constant reminder, keeps them come to them. And also remind them about the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The prayer itself is our good. And just have a short talk after the prayer for maybe 5 minutes. Push them to learn themselves, make themselves aware. And the most important thing, to put them the fear of Allah in them.
Right.
Not just the fear, but also the love of Allah.
Right.
Because if they fear Allah, they will be automatically on the path of on the straight path.
Right.
Because they may deceive us. And I tell my kids all the time, I said, you might can deceive me and you might can deceive your mother. But I said, remember that you will not be able to deceive Allah.
Right.
So Allah knows what you're doing. And this is a big thing that they know in their heart, that Allah is watching me.
Right, right.
So this also helps the kids. But also you have to understand that you cannot shun them, taunt them all the time.
Right.
Sometimes you leave them by the end and say, okay, let's see what he does. And I does that most of the time. You give reminder, but then you also leave them.
You give them a little room.
Yes, because now they are growing.
Right.
And if I keep pushing them every day, maybe it can take them away from Islam, because they're like, one day when they're going to leave the house, they'll be like, okay, now he's not here anymore, so I can do whatever I want.
Right.
So you have to give them the love, help them, but also with the reminder in a way which is beneficial.
That God is always watching.
Yes.
Now explain, I want you said you want them to fear Allah, fear Almighty God. So a girl the other day, a lady did ask me, who's not a Muslim, she said, should we really fear God, who is the loving one? So explain this type of fear that we mention all the time.
Well, that's our purpose in this dunya. Allah says,
dunya, you know, you had that.
Meaning the world. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
Right.
I have not created man and the spirit except for the purpose of worship.
Right.
So, fearing him, because you have to fear him, because he's the one who created you. He's the one who gives you the life. Just like you go to work, you don't do stuff in the world, in your workplace, what you want to do. You do as they tell you to do.
Right.
So Allah also has the right to tell us what to do. I mean, so he told us how to live this life. So we have to fear him. Fearing means that whatever commands he told you to do, you do to the best of your ability.
Right.
And whatever he said to stay away from, and then you stay away from them to the best of your ability. Obviously, we are not perfect.
But it's not a fear without love.
Exactly. I mean,
see, that's what most people don't. Most people, when they hear fear, it's fear connected with anger, fear connected with intimidation and things like that.
Well, love of Allah is in three things. I mean, you fear him, but you also love him, but you also have a hope in him.
Right.
The Muslim will never worship on two extremes. Like, he don't worship Allah based on fear, and he don't worship Allah based on too much hope. He strike the middle path.
Right.
He fear him, but he also have a hope in him. Mm-hmm. He love him too. Yes.
Right.
That's our we will never go to two extremes, because those are the different topics which can take you away from the path of Islam.
Yeah, I always come sometime try to explain it, because a lot of new people or converts that come to our classes, I try to equate it like a love and a fear for your parents.
Yeah.
You love your parents, but you fear the consequences of displeasing them.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
It's not like they're your enemy.
Yes.
Or opposite of what you are, but you just have that type of fear of not displeasing them. You don't want to disobey them.
Yes.
You know, this type of...
This is a very good... I just came... The example came to my mind. The Prophet, peace be upon him, gave to his companions. And he found one child lost. And the mother found him after a while. And she hugged him. And then Prophet peace be upon him, tell his companions, do you think that this mother will give away this child, you know, because after finding him, after lost? And they said, no, Prophet, why would she do that? And he said, Allah loves you way more than the mother.
The mother loved this child.
So mother will not hurt her child.
Right.
So why would Allah hurt his creation? I mean, the one who created him.
Right.
Why would he hurt his creation? Why would he? If you obey him, there is why would Allah punish his creation?
Right.
Right. So Allah loves more than your mother.
He wants the best for us.
Best for us, and that is the paradise.
Right.
He wants us to go to paradise, and the prohibitions what he had for us, it is actually good for us.
Absolutely.
It is actually good for us.
Yeah. You know, there's a verse in the Quran that says that it may be that you love a thing that is not good for you, and you hate a thing that is good for you.
Good for you. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful ayah in the Quran. And exactly. And sometimes you don't know. Maybe you think it is good for you. And you think, oh yeah, I got this. Maybe, but it is bad for you.
Right.
And something which is good for you, maybe you think, you know, it is not good for me.
Something that maybe you don't like too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the best for you.
It's the best for you. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
Let me ask you something. What would you tell, now we're stay on the subject for kids right now, because this is very, very important. Mm. I mean, we're talking about distractions and different things like this. You mentioned the gadgets and different other things, components that distract the children or have more of a pull on them than the religious aspect. But what do you think about the household that they're living in? That household also has to be what they see in the mother and the father.
Exactly.
The remembrance of Almighty.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, you lead by example.
Right.
You lead by example. You don't say that to your kids what you don't do.
Right.
It has to come from you first. And that's why I tell many parents, when they say, my child is not listening to me, I say, you have to lead by example.
Absolutely.
You got to do first before you tell your child what to do. Because he might listen to you, but he will follow you more by watching you what you do. So if I don't obey Allah, if I don't obey the Prophet, and if I'm telling my son to do that, then he'll be like, what about you? Why are you not doing?
Right.
I mean, so you have to go by leading by example. And as a father, as a mother, we have a responsibility. Because Allah will ask us on the Day of Judgment, did you teach your son or did you teach your daughter?
Right.
So we have a responsibility.
But you know, I've heard so many parents say over the years, they tell their children, when they may tell their children, you know, smoking is bad.
But they smoke
drinking
themselves.
And they're drinking. Yeah. And the children say, well, you're doing it too. They say, look, I'm grown.
I'm grown, yeah.
I'm grown. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
That's so,
and this has no effect on them.
None.
And even Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, do not tell the people to do something which you not do it
right
yourself.
Right.
So if I'm doing something which is prohibited and I'm telling my son to do that, that means that's not beneficial.
It's hypocrisy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is not beneficial. It will not affect him because he will not even listen to you because
or respect you.
Yeah, or not respect you.
Yeah.
So you have to earn your respect by obeying yourself first, what you're saying to them to do.
And I tell you what, you can kind of tell what's going on in these homes when they drop them children off of Sunday school.
Oh, my God. These kids, that's what I'm saying. The parents need to understand that the schools are not to train the kids what to do. Schools are there to teach them, but yes, the first step, it's from the home. I mean,
that's right.
You have to tell them, you have to discipline them. I mean, you have seen that many kids,
many times.
The mosque.
Many
I
times.
Mean, the way they deal the mosque, destroying stuff. I said, where is this coming from? I mean, is the parents not telling them to what to do? I mean, do they live just like that in the homes?
It's a reflection of that. It's a reflection of the home.
It's a reflection. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I have some interaction with the kids, although I have never taught in the Sunday school. But these kids, I mean, they are. It's a challenge.
Yeah,
it's a challenge, and it's. I mean, you got to be good on you to deal with them. I remember there was a teacher, and he said, "You teach them from the beginning, and you set the rules to discipline them.
Right.
You don't let them too loose, but you also love them. But in a way,
right.
They are listening to you.
Right.
Because he said the kids they have to be taught. I mean, I'm not saying this to shun them or beat them. No. There's no way. But yes, we have to discipline them that when they go into the mosque, they should know that this is the house of Allah. This is the house of God. I mean, we are here to worship. We're not here to destroy things. I mean, this is just treat it better than your home. I mean,
yeah, right.
Because this is the home, the house of Allah.
Well, you know, I always say, you know, I came out of a Christian church.
Mm.
I always say that Islam did not teach me my moral compass, let me put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my mother was the authoritarian in the way of she disciplined out punishment.
Yeah.
My father, no, he was very soft-hearted, but it was like boot camp. You're not going to tear up nothing. When you get out of the bed, you're going to make it up and not get back in until it's time. Yeah. You know, these type of disciplines.
Yeah.
When I went in the military, I was already familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what kids are missing today. They don't have that strong hand that's watching them and that's going to give them a little shove to come back on the right course.
Yes.
You know, the parents on Facebook, these iPads into their thing, and the kids are on their thing, and it's like nobody in charge.
Yes.
And so now when they just drop them off, you're just dealing with an unruly child.
I mean, and this is the expectation from them too, that once the daughter or son come out of the Sunday school, they should know everything. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
I mean, yes, they are there to learn something, but the practical is in the home. I mean, you have to discipline them in the home. Sunday school is 1 hour, 2 hours. That's most.
Right.
They're going to stay there. But they're going to stay with you 24/7. I mean, you have to teach them yourself too.
It's just like wiping away. I taught there 8 years.
Yeah.
And whatever you teach, if that's not being practiced in the home, it's just deleting everything you've done.
Yeah.
The whole hours you've been there.
Yeah.
That's why when I give talks out there in reference to, they ask me to come out there for different talks about holidays and things. I always emphasize the parents have to be in this talk. This talk is not for children only. Yeah. The parents have to be present because they are the one that's going to enforce the rules. If the rules are going to be enforced at all,
That's why we should learn from the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the best teacher. He know what to tell to the kid that will affect him. I mean, like the example of, I think, Ibn Abbas, the one when he was traveling with him on the back of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he reminded him at that time in a beautiful way, which stick with him for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And he addressed him, "Oh boy, oh little boy," addressed him like just like that. "Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will take care of you."
Right.
Just imagine the teaching, then how he was maybe 10 some years old, but the way he talked to him, it helps him and it stick with him for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
Me mindful of Allah, meaning you do whatever you want, but remember that Allah is watching you. So we should instill in our kids, in our kids, that no matter what you do, remember that Allah is watching you.
Right.
And that is itself is a great reminder for the kids.
Yeah, we keep them out of trouble in life and keep them on the path of Islam.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's move on to another question that I have here. What is one of the most important things you think that because we have new people all the time, you know, dealing with conversating with people who wants to know about Islam. What is the most important component you think that a person who's interested in Islam should emphasize on first?
The one who become a Muslim?
Yeah, they're learning.
They're
being exposed, they're interested, they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
What is some of the components or one component you would advise someone to study and emphasize on?
Well, the main thing which for the new revert, the best thing, I have met one brother last week, and his question was same, what I need to do. And I met, the main point, it was to seek knowledge from the right source, because there are many sources nowadays which people get into, and it is not good for them. And even Prophet, peace be upon him, have commanded us, and he even used to supplicate to Allah, "Oh Allah, grant me knowledge which is beneficial for me."
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn from the right source, from the right people, because. And also make an effort every day to keep learning from the life of Prophet, peace be upon him. His life is the best life. I mean, and the more we study his life, the more we know about how to live our life and what is the expectation Allah has from us to live this life.
Right.
So and the main thing also people when they become Muslim they think many Muslim they burden them with so many things.
Right.
I think we need to teach them step by step. There's nothing come overnight.
Right.
It takes time. And I also encouraged that brother who became Muslim. I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. It will take some time, but you are on the path, on the right path. And now keep striving what you can. Do best as possible to spend more time in learning.
Right.
And that's the only way you can worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped.
Correctly.
Because many people, they may worship Allah incorrectly.
Yeah, and you find some of them are, especially if they're coming out of other denominations, what they miss, well, they're more spiritual than having knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see, you can be spiritual and feel good and be a spiritual person.
But that's not even from Islam.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. So you could be going down the wrong path. You're feeling good.
Yeah.
It's looking good, but you may be going off a cliff.
Yes.
So that's why knowledge is
very important.
Yeah, lights that road for you.
Oh, exactly. I mean, knowledge, even the born Muslim, they even sometime worship Allah, what they saw their parents or ancestors do it.
Right.
But they never went into the books practically to learn what actually it is. I mean, maybe some people, they may be worshiping Allah for 40, 50 some years just because they saw their parents did that.
Right.
But if you actually ask them what it is, they might have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't worship Allah based on emotions, and we worship Allah based on evidence. And that's from Quran and the Sunnah.
Why do you think some families are get bogged down in tradition like that?
Well, I think they've been brought up like that. I mean, they just...
It's hard to bring them out. They'll say, well, this is what we've been doing for 120 years.
This is the problem. And that's what they need to understand, that Allah will not accept what my parents or what my ancestors did.
Right.
Allah will accept what I did based on evidence, and it is from the life of Prophet ﷺ, Prophet peace be upon him.
Right.
Because because he said that if you bring anything outside of the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, then it will be rejected.
Right.
So imagine somebody being worshipping Allah for 50, 60 some years, but that was based on falsehood.
Mm.
And then on the Day of Judgment, he will be regretful. I mean, one of the name of the Day of Judgment is a Day of Regret.
Yeah,
people will regret that day. So we have to understand that it is utmost important to learn the religion first before I practice it, because I might be doing something which is based on falsehood. And even Allah says in the Quran, do you think there's an ayah in the last part of chapter 18,
a verse
that Allah says, the people think they're doing good, but actually they are not doing good. Why? Because they deny the ayat, meaning the verses of Quran and the messenger.
Right.
So they were worshipping based on their desires, whatever they think it is good. In Islam, we don't worship Allah based on our desires. We worship the way He told us to worship Him, and that is the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So this is this is a great reminder for all. You're right. I mean, I have seen many brothers and sisters, and they said, well, I'm not going to change my way because I've been doing this for all my life. And you clearly see them, he's doing wrong.
Right.
But he said, no, I'm not going to change myself. And that's not a good sign.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, what really brought many of us to Islam was knowledge.
Exactly.
Before, we didn't have that. We call it blind follow, blind worship, or blind following. And this is what I find in most people is that they have a dependency,
yes,
of someone who they feel is a leader,
yes,
because they've been to a certain school. That leader have been to a certain school.
Yeah,
he says or she says they have a certain knowledge.
Yeah,
and they put all of their faith in this person.
Yeah,
they don't do any studying for themselves.
Yeah,
you know, they give their studying over to their leaders, mm-hmm, to advise them and give them the best advice, yeah, or choice or explanation,
yeah,
of their scripture.
Yeah.
And many of them are misled like this.
Yes.
I mean it's almost like a worship.
Right. Right.
Really, it's almost like a worship. We, yeah, worship them.
Yeah.
We don't believe that he would lie to us.
Yeah.
Even though he made me be misled.
It could lead to the polytheism.
It does.
Yeah. Because sometimes they start worshiping that person who is telling them, and they're listening to him more. And even if he presents something wrong, they don't disagree with him because they said, no, we cannot disagree with him.
Right.
No.
And you can show it to them in black and white in their own book.
Exactly.
And they'll say, no, that is not what he said.
But you know what? One thing which I remember back home, when you question somebody who consider himself unknowledgeable,
yeah,
even though he was on falsehood, they take it very seriously. They don't take it lightly.
Mm.
So they say, how dare you to question us? Islam is not about, I mean, yes, Prophet, peace be upon him, told us not to do excessive questioning.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I should not ask a question, even if you're doing something wrong, or to understand something.
Right.
That's the only way, the scholar said, there are two people who will never learn. The one who doesn't ask questions, mm-hmm, meaning good question.
Right.
And the one who's arrogant. These two people will never learn anything. Why? Because they think, one thinks he already know everything.
The arrogant person.
Yeah. And the other thing, I don't need to ask you anything. I don't know.
Right.
So we in Islam, yes, there is no wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking a good question. But we should always encourage even our kids. Yes, there's nothing wrong to ask a question.
I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Islam is that if it's something you don't understand, you can ask that question,
yes,
and you can go look for the answer.
And you can correct yourself.
You can correct, but many people are just told, just believe.
Yeah.
Just believe.
Yeah, no, that's the different sect, which is they worship Allah just because of their... they tell you, just believe, everything is fine. No, that's there's a sect which is called Sufism, which is this is not, I mean, that's a different topic. But one thing I was remembered to mention, that Islam is one, meaning, I mean, even if you go to different countries, there are so many different Muslim countries,
right?
Even if you see, Islam is the way what Allah says and His Messenger said,
right?
Now, if everyone have a different Islam, imagine there are so many countries, how would people know that what is the correct Islam? I mean, this and this is why it is so important to follow the correct Islam, and that is the way of Prophet, peace be upon him.
Right.
And this is the whole point to send the messenger. Allah sent down the Prophet, peace be upon him, for a reason. To be followed. Now, if everyone do follow Islam the way they want to follow, then what's the point of sending the messenger?
It's not Islam anymore.
It's not anymore.
Hey, explain Islam for the people.
Islam is
a good definition.
To obey to believe that there is no God other than Allah.
And Allah means the Creator.
Yeah, meaning.
Yeah.
To worship Him, He's the only true God. Who is deserves to be worshipped. Because there are many other gods people worship.
Right.
But he's the only one who, in truth...
he's the only true God.
True God.
Right.
Who deserves to be worshipped.
Right.
And the Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Right.
The last messenger.
Final one.
There's no messenger after him. Right?
Right.
That's the declaration to be a Muslim. But then you constantly learning from the life from Prophet, peace be upon him, to be on the correct methodology, to correct manhaj, meaning the way he told us to worship him. And that is Islam. I mean, that's if anything, people come up, but they don't have the evidence for it, they don't produce the evidence from the life of Prophet and his companion, then we reject it. We don't take it.
Right.
No matter who is saying that stuff. He also commanded us, Prophet, that to learn from my generation.
Right.
And the next. He mentioned three generations which we're supposed to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Because those were the best generation. And anything in your life you need to learn, you need to learn from those generations. But yes, I mean, if something is not established with them, that means that is upon falsehood. Because we cannot love Allah's messenger than the companions, because they spend time with him.
Right.
So what makes me think that what I'm doing is better than the way the companions did?
Right.
There is no way. I mean, they spend time with him. They used to spend time with him all the time to know what he's doing. And if they never did it, what makes me think that I do something and which will get me close to Allah?
We cannot do anything better or perfect this religion any more than they did.
Allah says in the Quran, "Al-yawm al-akmaltu lakum dinukum."
Right.
Today I have perfected your religion and
right.
chose Islam for you.
Right.
So this deen is already perfect.
Right.
This deen is already complete. It doesn't need any addition. It doesn't need any subtraction. All it need is obedience. And that's why the Prophet was very strong on this, that he said, "Kullu bidatin dalal." Every innovation, he said, is a misguidance. So I can come up with something tomorrow and start telling people to do that, but it will be rejected. Why? Because this is not the way the Prophet did it. And this is why many Muslims around the globe, they introduce new terminologies, new things into Islam, which are foreign to Islam. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Islam, and it will have no benefit for them on the Day of Judgment. So we need to understand that whatever I'm doing, I must do based on evidence. I must learn that am I doing it correctly the way the Prophet told me to do it? If he did not do it, then I must refrain myself from it. I must not do it, no matter how good it is.
So we don't practice our religion based on how other Muslims practice Islam.
Yes.
We practice our religion based on the Quran
and the revelation
of God.
Yes.
And the life, actions, and sayings
of the Prophet
Muhammad.
Yes. That's the beautiful. This is, wallahi, this is so simple, so nice, which if it is done in this way, it is a path.
No problem.
To the Jannah.
Yeah, that's really what I love about it.
You
work every day, right?
Yes.
Do you have people like question you and
all the time? And they tell me, "Why you are so strict?" I said, "I'm not strict. I'm just doing the right
Islam." Well, what do they mean by that?
Well, they think they why you have so many restrictions and all that. That's, I said, this is not the restriction. These are you maybe call them restrictions, but these are the guidance to protect myself from something, to fall into something harmful.
Do you pray at work?
Yes.
So they see you pray at work?
Yes, yes.
What do they say?
Well, some said, why you have to go to prayer every couple of hours? I said, this is because we are being told to worship. But they said, oh, we pray all the time. I said, well, I'm not saying pray just by lip service. We have to do a practical, the way we are told to worship.
Right.
But yes, we can supplicate anytime. There's nothing wrong with it. But the prayer is a practical way to worship Allah, the way the Prophet told us to worship Him.
Right.
And it's a beautiful
way. So they look at that as being strict the way you... I mean, because they only run you a certain hours of the day.
Yeah, and not only that, they also have questions about why the woman have to cover, why you guys pray five times a day. And there are many other questions which is related to what's going on around the world.
Yeah.
And the most thing which I think I struggle, and many Muslims try to make them convince them.
Yeah.
It might not... we may explain them in the best possible way, but it may not affect them. They may not understand it. Why? Because there's no belief in those things. So that's why when the Prophet commanded his companion Mu'adh, the great companion, he told him to go to Yemen to invite people towards La ilaha illallah.
And toward the oneness of
to
God.
To oneness of God.
Right.
If they accept that, then tell them the other things.
Right.
Because if the belief is not there, they may not understand why Muslim covers the woman covers it.
Right.
Because there is no understand. There's no belief behind it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Because even the we have to, I tell them, I said, learn about Islam first, and if you know that it is the correct religion, and if you know that yes, there is one God and who is deserved to worship, I said, these topics what you are talking about, we can talk about them later on.
Mm-hmm.
But as until you don't enter into the door, I cannot make you convinced. I cannot convince you.
You're saying their belief is empty.
Yeah.
So they can't even comprehend why a woman would want
to
cover.
They cannot. Yeah. They cannot. So they are trying to go to college without graduating from a high school.
Right. Right. I mean, can go on further back than that. Really.
They have to go elementary first.
Right.
They have to learn the basic first.
Right.
And then these things will come later on.
Yeah, I mean, because they seem so shocked about some things.
Yeah.
Like, my God, you have to do that five times a day?
Yeah.
When you're fasting, why would you even want to do that?
I won't name the country. And when they come to this country, now they stop doing everything. And their parents are Muslims.
What do you mean stop doing everything?
No prayer.
Oh, stop.
No fasting. And they think these are old stuff. We don't do that stuff anymore. So this does show that that if you don't stick on the on your belief,
right,
it can take you way out of
absolutely.
Yeah.
Most of them don't think that America have something for you out there.
Exactly.
If you don't have your head tied on right,
you're right. I mean, this is what I'm saying that, and I'm talking about these are the people who came to this country as a Muslim,
right?
And now, they are just like
anybody else. Yeah.
And when you even tell them, I mean, they are older than me, and I was like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah.
They say, "Yeah." And even they discourage you not to do it, like when they see you fasting or praying, they say, "What's the point for this? Why are you doing? Then you hurting yourself."
That's sad.
So this is that means there is no iman, there is no faith.
Well, there's no faith until sickness or something hits them.
Yeah,
that's the nature of the human being.
Yeah.
When sickness or some type of calamity comes in their life,
yeah,
like Allah says in the Quran, they call on Him.
Yeah.
And not only call on Him and make their prayers, but Allah says they extend their prayers. Mm-hmm. They make long prayers.
Yeah.
But then when He gives their health back to them,
mm-hmm,
they act as if they never even called on Him before.
They never called, yes.
So that's a hypocrisy.
Exactly.
It's empty faith.
This is exactly right. I mean, we should always supplicate to Allah to keep us on the straight path. And this is every Muslim, because you never know that the Satan can hold on you and make you misguide you any moment.
Wow, any moment.
Because none of us guarantees that we will die upon Islam. But yes, with the consistency, with staying on the path, and that's what Prophet told us, as long as you stay on two things, you will never go astray. And that is the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the guidance of Prophet, peace be upon him. These two things, as long as you stick on them, as long as you're following them, there is no way you can go astray.
Well, is it something that you do every day to motivate yourself to try to stay on that even path?
Well, you have to have a connection with the Book of Allah every day, even if it is for 5 minutes.
You mean reading the Quran?
Reading and learning it. The Quran, many Muslims also misunderstood. The only thing, the reading is only allowed from the Quran. Quran is the book of guidance. Like Allah says in the very beginning of the book, أَلِفْ لَا مِمْ ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a book of guidance for those who are conscious of Allah.
Right.
So we have to understand, even if I just read it without understanding, that means that I'm not getting any guidance. And there are many Muslims around the globe, they may have memorized the whole book of Allah, meaning the book of the Quran,
mm-hmm.
but they have no idea what is in it. And this is a very strange, very big problem that many, even parents, they force them, the kids, to memorize the book. As long as they memorize it, that's all they know and need. And this is not good. Yes, memorization is a good thing, but it will not help you on the Day of Judgment if you did not understand anything out of it.
So the first thing is you have to have a connection
with the Book of
with
Allah.
With the last revelation, the Quran, that God
every
sent.
Day.
Every day.
Every
Even
day.
If it's 5 minutes.
Even if it's 5 minutes. One I tell anyone, those who are not connected to the book, I said just start reading one verse a day with the understanding. One verse a day.
Right.
And as a mere minimum, we can do this if we call ourselves a Muslims.
We have the Quran on our phones.
Yes, exactly.
So what's another thing you do?
To learn the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay. Learn from his, learn his seerah, his life, his biography, or his teachings, we call them hadith.
Yes,
any day, even one hadith a day, it is beneficial for you.
Okay.
Because Allah loves that consistency. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, even if you do any act which is small, but it is consistent, it is good in the sight of Allah, then doing a whole lot of stuff which is just once a month or once a year.
Right.
So we have to understand that we should have a connection with the Book of Allah and the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions, learn from their lives. That is the most beautiful thing.
To be steadfast.
To steadfast.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I know you've learned a lot of the Quran. You recite a lot, which is very good.
I don't claim that I learned a lot of it. But
well, I mean, you've memorized a lot.
Alhamdulillah.
Which is very good.
May Allah make it easy for us to retain it, yes.
Yes. So let me we got maybe just a few minutes. Explain some of the beauty of the Quran. When I say beauty, the authenticity of it. The guidance that's in it.
That's what I heard from one of the scholars. He said it very beautifully. He said, imagine that Allah, your creator, sent down this revelation for you from the seven heavens to you to guide you.
Mm.
Imagine, I mean, there's no better expression than that. Meaning, imagine, I mean, he's your creator. He did not just send you to this world to do whatever you want. He also sent you the guidance, meaning in revelation.
Right.
Then also he sent you the messenger to show you how to live this life.
Right.
This is so great. Who will does it? Except the one who care for you. That shows that Allah cares for us. Allah loves us. Allah wants us to go to the paradise.
To the paradise. So he created you.
Yes.
Then he sent you guidance.
Yes.
And then sent you
the messenger.
A messenger to show you how to apply it to your life.
How to apply it to life.
What else can you ask?
What else we ask?
Yeah.
And this is, and imagine that when you recite, the scholar says also that when you recite the word of Allah, meaning the Quran, imagine that that word, it's the word of Allah that you are saying.
Right.
And when you're saying it, you are actually getting benefit. You are actually getting rewarded for even one letter when you say, which Prophet told us, so peace be upon him, that even if you say one letter, you will get 10 rewards.
10 rewards.
Imagine, so you just say Alif Lam Mim, the three words, three letters, sorry. It gets you 30 rewards.
30 rewards.
So imagine you read the whole page, a whole Quran. What kind of reward does you get?
Man.
I mean, we're running after this world about money. We try to find every possible way, the way I can make more money, you know?
Right.
But what about the currency of the for the last day?
For the hereafter.
That is the reward, the deeds you will do for the sake of Allah,
mm-hmm.
that will be, that is the only thing is going with you in your grave. No money, no properties, and nothing will go with you in your grave except your deeds, which you have done. It's only for the sake of Allah. So one letter can get you 10 deeds. And I tell sometime, brothers, if we put outside the mosque that the prayer value according into monetary terms,
yeah,
I think the masajid will be full.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you put something out there, say $200 for every prayer.
Yeah. And if you put it to $1,000 for the fajr, the masjid will be full in the morning, the dawn prayer.
Right.
But how hard it is to get up at that time and go to mosque. Obviously, this is hard in this country. We not expect everyone to go to mosque every single day in the morning. Yes, we understand the people living far from the masajid. But what about on the weekend when we are off, when we're not doing anything? Yes, we have plans maybe for doing something. Why not we plan to start our day in obedience to Allah, in this, by visiting the house of Allah? How, I mean, and Allah says that the one who prays in the mosque, in the masjid, in the morning prayer, he is under the protection of Allah all day.
All day long.
So we need protection, don't we?
That's the best plan.
That's the best protector.
Right.
So we need to think about these things like that. I mean, I know it is very hard.
It's hard.
But yes, the life is about struggle.
Yeah, Allah says he created us into struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, struggle is a form of purification.
Right.
If you're not struggling, then you're not purifying anything.
Even in this world, they said no pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
So we have to struggle.
And we have to struggle. And paradise is not free.
It is not free.
It's been advertised to people that it is, that you can just say, I believe.
Paradise is surrounded with hardships.
Absolutely.
So paradise is surrounded with hardships. You have to struggle in this life to go there.
That's right.
And the hellfire is surrounded with desires.
Ease and desires.
So the more you follow your desires, the more you follow your inner self,
right,
then it will take you to the hellfire.
I heard a scholar say the other day, if you want to know if God is pleased with you, just look at your life and see, are you fulfilling the commandments that he has placed upon you?
Exactly.
If you are, he's pleased with you.
Well, it's so beautiful.
But if you are not fulfilling those responsibilities that he has placed upon you, then know that he is displeased with you.
Exactly.
Just that easy.
Exactly. One of the scholars said, if you want to know that if Allah loves you, then look in your life how much Allah is important to you in your life.
Mm.
How much value you give to Allah every day in your life.
Right.
And pleasing Allah is very easy. very easy. But just obeying His command and staying away from prohibition, if you do that, then know that Allah loves you.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for coming to your first session.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So this is not your last.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a good, we have a good small discussion.
Yeah.
But we pray to Allah that may Allah keep us on the straight path and keep us steadfast.
Ameen.
And may Allah guide all the Muslims around the globe. Ameen. And help them and protect them.
Ameen.
Those who are struggling.
Ameen.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so until next week, if anyone need anything from us, my number is 706-459-1010. And until next week, I will leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.